Stop blaming it on holiday stress. We all know it's that time of year when everything feels drained, both your wallet and you. Well, the real problem is right under you. It's that saggy, old, unsupportive mattress. Well, say hello to Ghostbed. Ghostbed is family-run, consumer-loving, with over 20 years of mattress-making mastery. They've engineered the perfect sleep weapon. Durable, insanely comfortable, and cool enough to keep you chill all night long. Every Ghostbed packs their exclusive ProCore technology, a powerhouse support system that cradles your back, supports, and aligns your spine. Translation? You wake up feeling like a human again. Hot sleeper? Ghostbed's cooling materials fight heat 24/7, so you don't wake up sweaty, even when the thermostat cranked up. And here's the kicker. Fast, free shipping in just 2 to 5 days, a 101-night sleep trial, and up to a 25-year warranty. That's confidence. Right now, Ghostbed is slashing prices, up to 50% off compared to other brands. And because you're listening, you score an extra 10% off site-wide. Just use promo code PODCAST at checkout. That's PODCAST for 10% off on top of already insane deals. Upgrade your sleep, upgrade your life. Ghostbed, the coolest beds in the world.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor with Jeremy Zachas in New South Wales. Dallas is his very faithful and calm and generous spoodle. And Jeremy has collected, through Dallas's generosity, a family or several of magpies. Now, magpies are smart, like crows. I live with crows. They're very smart. They know when Sailor and I are coming by. They give us a chorus in the afternoon. They sleep in a little bit in the morning, and then Grandpa Crow wakes them up, and I can know that how many minutes till dawn. It's around first light. However, Jeremy has magpies who are cagey with Dallas, but elsewhere, magpies have a terrible reputation in springtime. Jeremy, are there already warnings about magpie rage around your neighborhood or in New South Wales?
There are warnings galore, John. In fact, official warnings too. Our local councils here on the east coast of Australia and my neighbourhood in particular are issuing warnings now that we are now in magpie swooping season. And this is a season that comes about around about August, September every year. And that's when the magpies are mating. They're starting to get their young and they become very, very protective of their nests. And unfortunately, they do see us humans as a possible predator and a possible enemy of their young ones. So what they do is they start to go out in force and swoop. And when they swoop, they are pretty aggressive. Already this week, we've had reports of at least one poor lady in Sydney who actually suffered head injuries because a magpie, fearing for its young, being taken by this poor woman who was literally only just walking past its nest, had nothing to do with trying to take its young. She got hit in the head with a beak by a magpie that was just really trying to keep its young protected. And I can also say, John, I myself this week actually got swooped. I was out on a normal morning walk with Dallas, and I thought I was pretty safe because I knew where his posse of magpies were. They were pretty much following us as they always do. But we went a little bit further to the next suburb, and I came across another family which hadn't quite made friends with Dallas. And sure enough, as I was walking past them, I heard the flapping of the wings. I looked around, and there was what I believe was probably Father Magpie, only about 3 inches from the top of my head. But it was only a warning shot. He was basically just saying, hey, you're in my area. There's a young magpie out there that's mine. Don't get anywhere closer to it. So it was only a one-shot deal. Flew past, got really close. And because he saw I was running with Dallas and pretty much on my merry way, didn't come back for a second attack. But honestly, John, I can say I'm not immune to this, despite having the posse that Dallas has introduced me to. But everybody is now really watching out because the magpies are quite aggressive this year because there's a lot more of them. It's a bit warmer weather. They're a bit more active. But the news cycle is reporting a lot of magpie swooping incidents and telling us we have to prepare and watch out for them.
They're asking questions in your media. Can you befriend magpies? How can you avoid being struck? Can you gain their trust? Are they kidding or can you? I know Dallas is a magpie whisperer, but you humans, can you gain the trust of a magpie family?
You absolutely can. And in fact, the families we have around here, while they do have youngs, and when I say around here, literally within basically our housing block here and around the neighborhood, they do have young, but they're the ones that don't swoop me at the moment. And it's because you treat them with respect. I mean, we go the extra mile, or I do here where I actually feed them because Dallas has kind of forced me to. But if you do treat them with respect and kind of act very friendly to them, and I find too, you kind of talk to them a little bit as well, just, act like they're part of the scenery, they do actually, give you a bit of trust. And those ones are the ones that aren't swooping me. And I dare say the one that did swoop me this week, now that I know where it is, and if I continue to do the same thing where I keep my distance, just not sort of like get anywhere near its young and kind of talk to it, they do actually remember that, and they do actually become friendly. So as silly as it sounds, John, the magpies are very smart. If you interact with them and if you do show a lot of respect and kind of friendliness towards them, they remember that. And interestingly too, it's generational. So what happens is you find that with families, as they have young and as they bring the young over to basically have a talk and have a feed with you, that the young magpies actually remember that too, and it goes down through the generations. So it's not as silly as it sounds. If you want to avoid being swooped in one way, just try and make friends with the magpies first.
Yes, that's the way it works with crows. At least I'm learning. They were very cautious for several years, and now they've gotten used to our schedule in the morning. We're out there now. It's easy to get out before the sun, and they're quite accepting. They flap overhead. They make a little noise to make sure you know they're there, and then move on. I've been told that crows live a long time. Sometimes it's mentioned they can live 5 decades. So who's the interloper? Us, not the crows. They've always been here. Now, we've talked about the magpies, and Dallas shares his morning food. That's how trusting Dallas is of magpies. That's why they adore him. Yes, magpies are diplomatic, but still, if you feed them, they're really diplomatic. We now turn to snakes. I didn't want to do this report, but we have to be honest. Everything in Australia is exotic and probably will try to kill you. This is a skylight. What is that, Jeremy?
It's basically a skylight. So it's a little dome where in the roof of most Queensland houses, and of course a snake story is not a snake story without being in Queensland. It's just a little dome-like skylight where basically it allows for the light to come in from the top. That also acts as a way to actually get air into the roof cavity as well. So there's actually normally a little bit of a gap around the skylight where it reaches to the exterior, and it's all about cooling down the houses in Queensland. So this is something that you find in pretty much every house in Queensland, except in this case, which is in the suburb of Dakabin, which is just north of Brisbane, so in a very suburban area. They basically found that the skylight not only acts as a way to get light in and air in, but it's also perfect for a couple of pythons as well to get in. And so what we're seeing here, John, is actually the homeowners have come home. And they've had a look up in their skylight. They thought it was a beautiful day and there was a little bit of light coming through, but there's some weird shadows. When they looked up, they actually saw that there were two pythons, male pythons, biting in their skylight. And you can imagine what's running through your head at that point. You've got two snakes in your skylight. You don't have any real way to get them out except to kind of wait until they move on themselves. They probably really want to just, lock the door, burn the house down, leave immediately. But the worst part was, John, that these two snakes didn't just stay in their skylight. In a very short period of time, they actually managed to fall out of the skylight and then onto the land room floor too. So again, in Australia, it's a very Australian story. Not only did they have the problem of these two snakes first being in the skylight, they were then on their land room floor. And because they were two male pythons, they continued to fight for some time. Luckily, of course, the homeowners managed to film it, so we were able to enjoy the story without actually being there ourselves. But again, it shows that everywhere in Australia, things are going to try and kill you. Things will probably fall out of your skylight. Things will probably end up in your lounge room that you don't want. And these things typically are going to be snakes.
I've learned through Jeremy that the reptiles are dangerous, but pythons are not. Pythons can be a little scary, and they tussle out in public. They like to wrestle with each other, but they're not venomous. So when I read this story, I thought, oops, and then I saw that it was pythons. I relaxed, just as I'm sure the homeowners relaxed. Because there's something really to worry about. However, I've learned that pythons are most likely the snake that to go to find in the roof. Is that correct, Jeremy?
That absolutely is, and it's because of the way that pythons really love the darker spaces, and they're actually happy to stay in one spot for a lot longer than, say, the great eastern brown snakes, the tiger snakes, which are much more predatory. They're out always hunting and trying to find prey to kill and eat. Whereas pythons can actually happily stay in a roof cavity, stay there for a long time. When they need to eat, they move out and do their thing. But also, too, in roof cavities, you can imagine in pretty much all parts of Australia, even the cities, which are not in rural areas, but mice tend to get up there, and mice tend to stay in the roof cavities for quite a long time, quite happily as well. So you have families of mice running around, which for a python who doesn't naturally want to go out and have to hunt for its food, all it has to do is actually just wait there for a little while, and it will typically get a mouse within striking range, and it will be able to have a good feed without expending much energy. So that seems to be the additional attraction for pythons in the roof cavities, which in some ways is great because it means that if you have a snake in the roof, it's typically going to be a python, not a brown snake. But at the same time, too, of course, brown snakes do travel in the roof cavities as well, especially if it's raining, to keep dry. So you never can be 100% sure. But it really is a phenomenon here that you'll tend to see the pythons more so in the roof cavities than you will the brown snakes.
Now, Jeremy, we don't have pythons. Our mouses are called cats. Are Australians unaware of cats? You've got lots of cats, don't you? You have feral cats. You have house cats. They're very good mousers. You don't need pythons.
We do. We do. In fact, there is some footage, and it's from a few years back, where there have been instances where pythons have been going after the same mouse that a cat's been going after, and it begins almost like this competition to see who gets it first. And interestingly, too, in the footage that came out, it was probably about 3 years ago now, the python actually wins, because the pythons, when they need to be, they can actually be fast, especially if they need to get food. So they can actually outwit a cat in trying to get its prey. So we do have cats, we do have pythons as mouses, but the funny thing is that, you know what, sometimes they actually go in competition with each other, and it's fascinating to watch.
We're going to the place of competition called Lords. There's been a one-day match between Australia and England. It will shock all of you to learn that England was trash-talking. When we come back, John learns cricket from the master, Jeremy Zakas, and the example is the very bad sports called the Poms versus all Australia in a one-day test. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.